Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, and he ate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and let us all say, amen. So I got a question for you as I begin today's message. What happens when the devil starts to go bald? What happens when the devil starts to go bald? Well, before I give an answer to that, let me just introduce that today I want to begin a sermon series that deals with the devil and talking about how we might handle the adversary. This is going to be a sermon that talks about something that the church sometimes is silent on. We don't talk enough about. And when we do talk about it, usually two extremes that we fall on. And the first extreme is this. A lot of people, they end up giving the devil too much credit, right? Give the devil too much credit. These people see the devil in everything, right? If they have a bad hair day, okay, then their hairbrush has been possessed, car won't start. There's a curse on my carburetor. They see the devil in everything. Now, have you ever show Stanford and Son? Remember that show? Well, there is a lady by Aunt Esther, right? And Aunt Esther kind of represents this experience. She saw the devil in everything and everyone, especially Fred Sanford, right? And the most popular line from people that are on this far extreme giving the devil too much credit is, "The devil made me do it," right? Don't take any responsibility for ourselves. Just see and blame the devil for everything in the entire world. Now, the other extreme is just as bad. And the extreme sometimes the church takes is that we deny the existence of the devil. We say, okay, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in holiness. I believe in righteousness. But no, I don't believe that there's a greater evil in this world. Mr. Warby wrote a book called The Strategy of Satan. And in it, he says that one of the devil's best tricks is to trick the world into thinking he does not exist. And yet the Bible tells us that he does. The Bible says this in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Let me tell you what this means. This means that you might think that your enemy is your mother-in-law, right? You might think, she's driving me crazy. Or you might think it's your spouse or your kids or your coworker or your boss, but ultimately, it's a different enemy that we face, right? Ultimately, it's something greater than what we think it is. A lot of times when I think about this, I think that we get mixed up thinking about what God allows to happen in our lives. Often we give the devil too much credit. We make the devil bigger than he really is. And so what I want to do in this series is not to glorify the devil or try to make us so, but I just want us to look at it so that we will be able to say, okay, stand when the attack comes? Well, first, and give you some of the background. Some of the background is this. Before the world was created, God had angels, and archangels were the strongest of those angels. And one of those archangels was named what? Lucifer, right? And Lucifer, his was kind of like the choir director. Watch out, Peaches. He was the choir director of heaven, and his job was to send up and to arrange the praises of God. And yet he became jealous of God, and he wanted that glory for himself. He revolted and tried to overthrow, and God cast him down. Not only did he cast him down, but he cast down with him one third. I think about that, I think, wow. I don't understand how there could be such a revolt in heaven where everything was perfect. And then again, you know what? I don't know how there could be such a revolt here on this earth when God, first of all, created us, placed us in the garden. And I know this. The devil is a deceiver. The devil is a deceiver. If I had that of the devil, I would be able to open that up to you, and I'd show you that he's doing the same tricks today that he's been doing for thousands of years. Jesus said about him in the scripture in John 8:11, and he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the what? Father of lies. Father of lies. They used to joke about politicians, and they would say, do you know when a politician is lying? When his lips are moving, right? Well, God, Jesus is saying that of, and he's not joking, though. He's saying he's the father of lies. And over again, he tries to attack us by lying and by attacking the word of God. The first time that we see him is in the Garden of Eden. And he comes in the form of a what? A serpent or a snake. And it's so interesting that of all the ways that he could have tried to get in between Eve and God, tried to attack her, it's so interesting what he chose to do. Because he could have chose to attack her insecurity. He could have come up to her. Sister. That's my best snake, okay? I've been working on that. I've been working on that. If you were here for the first service, it wasn't that good. Sister. Don't you know, Adam doesn't really love you. Adam liked it better when it was just him and the animals. Adam wants it real back. Sister. But he didn't do that. Instead, the way that Satan tried to pull her away from God was to attack the word of God. And the first thing he does is this. The devil questions God's word. Here's what he says. Satan, did God say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Did God say that? Now, Satan didn't deny that God had spoken. He just questioned. Did you really hear him correctly? And guess what? He's using the same trick. The same playbook he's using today. Come on. Do you really think that the Bible is the word of God? Do you really think that all of those different authors that they heard God? Okay. If so, do you really think that what he wrote all those thousands of years ago, that applied to them, but not to you? Oh, he doesn't really want you to love your enemies. No. He doesn't really want you to give a tithe. No. He doesn't want you to pray for those who No. Must be for somebody else. So all of a sudden, he gets you to question that. Did God say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And here's what God really said. God really said this. You may eat, say this word, freely. Eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. See, Satan lets that word out freely, and it's a subtle thing that he did, but that freely is important because God is actually saying, you know what, Adam and Eve, you can have of the bananas and freely eat of the pears and of the junipers, and I'm making up stuff now, I don't know. Help me out here. Pineapples and oranges and mangoes. You can have all that freely, right? And when he leaves that out, what it does is it implies, well, God's just holding back on you, right? Did God say you shall eat of, shall not eat of any of the trees of the garden? He's trying to make it like God's holding back the very thing that's going to be the best for you. God's keeping for himself. Oh, he doesn't really love you. And all of a sudden, once Eve begins to question the goodness of God, it allows her to start questioning whether she needs to obey the will of God. Let me say that. Maybe I'll put it in a way that it applies to us. When we begin to question the goodness of God, it makes it so much easier for us to question if we need to obey the will of God. We've got a saying here at Lawrence United Methodist Church. Our saying is this: God is good all the time. But the serpent would come up and say, sanctify, brothers and sisters. Is God still good? Church gets robbed. And the congregation says, God is good when? All the time. And all the time, God is. And he says, well, sanctuary. Is God still good when it snows two Sundays in a row? Lawrence says, God is good when? All the time. And all the time, God is good. First, he questions the word of God. And then the second thing that he'll try to do is twist the word of God. Eve tells the serpent that this is what God said. God said, you shall not eat the tree which is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said, and you will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, open, and you will be like what? God. And here's the twist. Here's the twist. This is the very thing at the heart of Lucifer's problem. He wanted to be like what? God. I don't want to just sit here and sing your praises. No, I want to be on the throne myself. And let me try and do it on my own. It doesn't work. No, let me try to take a third of the angels with me. Come on. That doesn't work. Okay, let me try and get humanity. And let's get them going right along. But the problem is that Adam and Eve have already been created in the image and likeness of God. What he's saying is, you will be like God. Wait a minute. Eve was already a reflection of the divine heart of God. And yet what the devil does is he twists. That's not enough. He twists this. You know, God's loving. God loves you, so just take it and eat it. If you do, God is forgiving and God will just forgive you, so just take it. Says God created you to be you. He's not going to judge you. Just take it. Eat it. Twist. And all of a sudden, it's not enough to be created in the and likeness of God. But all of a sudden, we fall for the exact same thing that a third of the angels and that fell for. And we think we need to be God. Over and over again, we see that he will twist us and that he will try to get us to question the word of God. And what we need to understand is we are under attack. You know, it's not a popular message. Probably only a handful of times that I preach this sermon. But every once in a while, I have to remind us that the Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion. A thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And maybe the message came because this week, if you didn't know, or last week, we had a theft here at the church. What happened was that someone snuck in. I tell you something? They didn't come dressed like this. Because if they came dressed like this, you know what? We would have locked the door. We would have said, you know, no, no, you ain't coming in here. No, no, no. But they didn't. They come looking normal, looking fine, right? When I tell you you're under attack, that the enemy is coming, you're thinking, oh, well, you know what? I'll know. Is the guy in the red suit with the pitch, is he going to come at you like that? No, he's not. It's going to be nice. It's going to sound so sweet. But you're under attack. And if we don't realize we aren't aware, then he will rob us blind. Maybe it's financially. Maybe he's coming for morals. Maybe he's coming for a reputation, family. I don't know, but you need to be aware. And can I tell you what happened? So after the theft happened, our sweet, nice church volunteers, they changed with a snap of the fingers. Okay? Sweet Bob Butler, who's probably 8 years old, he was here. The thing happened, and all of a sudden, in the snap of a finger, Bob Butler switched into Usain Bolt. Thief ran out the door, and Bob put on his sneakers and ran after him. If the car wasn't already running, he would have caught him. I don't know what he would have done with him, but sweet Bert Lampson, almost 90 years old. That's what she said. If I could have, I could have grabbed him and kicked him in his knees. Sweet Nina Butler, in an instant, the guy grabbed the stuff and she opened her purse and pulled out nunchucks and started flipping the nunchucks. Okay, that didn't really happen. What I'm trying to say is once we know, once we're aware, right, we act differently. Am I right? You are the same. Let me be clear. I'm so glad that no one got hurt or injured, and you know, it's just money, and just let that stuff go. But when we're talking about something that's different than money but a spiritual warfare, we act differently, right? All of a sudden, there's more on the line. It's not just finances. It's a morality. It's a stand for what has called us to be, who we are and whose we are. And we act differently. And once you know that the thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, that he wants to steal your joy and steal your faith, all of a sudden, you act differently. And you stand and you get ready to fight. You stand and get ready to fight. Let me be clear, though. How do we fight? How do we fight? Our example comes from Jesus. The Bible says that after he was baptized, he went to the wilderness. And in the wilderness, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, while he was there fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, what happened after that fast? The temptation, right? The devil comes to him when he's at his moment of weakness. Probably when he's the weakest, he gets stronger and closer to God by denying himself physical nutrients. And I think about my own self. I tried to place myself in there. What would I be like after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting? What? I couldn't get past lunch, right? I try to think about it. I get hangry if I miss lunch, right? But the devil comes this long period of fasting, and he attacks him when he's weak but spiritually strong. And so maybe some of you are thinking, Pastor, this is a great message, okay, for somebody else, but guess what? The devil ain't attacked me in so long. Well, maybe the devil ain't attacking because we ain't a threat. Maybe we haven't been doing anything. Maybe we haven't been shaking anything up. Maybe we've been business as usual. Maybe we've been a status quo. But can I tell you something? When you're with what God has blessed you with, when you glorify God with your mouth and with your lives, the devil will attack. when instead of just going to church, you are the church, the devil attacks. When you recognize that the greatest thing that we can do as a Christian will not be in the church, but outside of the church, as we give a witness to the God who has richly loved us. That's when the devil will attack. And so Jesus gives us that example about how we're supposed to fight. How are we supposed to fight? The devil tempts Jesus, and let's talk about what Jesus does. I've got it in a multiple choice. So the devil attacks Jesus, and Jesus gets his stance ready. What does Jesus do? A, does he punch the devil in the nose? Go for the face. Is that what he does? Nope. B, does he write an angry Facebook post? Right? Let everybody already know. You know what so-and-so did? Is that what he does? No. C, quote the word of God. Is that what he does? That's right. The devil comes and attacks him. And Jesus gets his stance. And the devil says, hey, man, you're hungry? Why don't you turn this stone into bread? And Jesus responds and says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Say, leave, man, I'm not. By this time, now coming back a little bit later. Amen. Amen. You're trying to be the Savior. You need everybody to know. You want to do a miracle. I got the greatest miracle. Why don't you jump off this cliff and all the angels will swoop down and grab you. Everyone will see that. And hey, don't worry about this piddly miracles. Just do something big, huge like that. It says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan, guess what? No, I don't want none of that, no. Look, man, you know this is going to be some huge setup, cosmic battle. We just end it right now. I'm going to give you all of this. I'm going to give it all to you. Battle over, just bow down and worship me. That's the only thing I've ever wanted. I've just wanted to be God just for a minute. Just worship me for a minute. Let's all of this. You don't have to go through all that pain, nothing. I'll give it to you. And Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt worship no one but the Lord thy God. And the next line says, and Satan flees. Satan flees. He runs. You know what it reminds me? It reminds me we're not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Right? And the reason why we're fighting from victory is because ultimately it's not our battle. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the vastness of their army. For the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. If the battle is the Lord's, the victory is already the Lord's, right? He's already been defeated. All we've got to do is stand. And we were never meant to stand on the strength of our own fists or the strength of the words of our own mouth, but instead on the word of God. David says, I will hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God. David's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the word of God, it gives us direction for the way that we need to go in God's will. It convicts us when we're not in God's will. It challenges us when we're too comfortable. The word of God encourages us when we feel weak. And the word of God strengthens us for the task that is before us. Speak the word of God, and the response is that the devil flees. What happens when the devil starts to go bald? What happens when the devil starts to go bald? There's hell to pay. That's a little late, Harley. But when we fight the word of God, the devil runs away. Amen.